Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, right there.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, maybe it's your first time with us or you stumbled upon us by chance, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Roger Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, always inspired by the movie in question. So that's where we are here. And let's talk about the movie in question. You guys ready?
Yeah, sure.
We're talking about the 1985 cult classic Lose My Mind Reanimator from, speaking of mind, from the mind of H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Directed by Stuart Gordon, starring Jeffrey Combs.
He's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
That guy.
Yeah. So if you've seen this film, Reanimator, 1985, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree with our take. Or you know what? If you haven't seen it, keep listening anyway. Might be something that you want to queue up yourself.
Yeah.
That's the way this game is played. So the Q Filmcast, here we are. And I am Michael, as always. And to my left, James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. I'm doing okay. You know, I woke up, looked in the fridge.
Yeah?
Did not see any beloved pets in
was
there.
Was your fridge open when you woke up?
Is that a metaphor for something? No, my fridge was not open.
Okay.
I wasn't crammed into a straitjacket.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, I wasn't brought back from the dead and given a lobotomy.
Good.
Had a good week.
I think the good news there is that you didn't die in the first place.
Yeah, but you know, there's ways around that.
There's no butt in that. Good news for who?
You give me a giant syringe and some Mountain Dew, I'm fine.
There you go.
Okay.
Or maybe some Mellow Yellow, I don't know.
Maybe they figured out the formula by now.
Possibly. Adam had a...
Adam has like the formula.
Yeah, we'll get into the formula. Who's that talking? I know it is. That's to your left. That's Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear.
Hello, Michael.
Is a straight jacket an outerwear?
Hello, James.
Hello, Hoodie.
Hey, Mike.
I guess technically a straight jacket is outerwear.
Yeah, I'm not a part of that joke, but I did have a question. Is a straight jacket technically outerwear?
Technically, it's just the worst thing ever. I've tried to wear one socially, and you need a straw. I know that.
Yeah. But you're always hugging. But you're hugging yourself. You're always embraced.
It's not a loving hug. Not a loving hug.
Yeah, well, I want to give this guy a hug. This guy sitting next to me. That's Max Gumbo Johnson.
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah. Good evening to you. Good evening to you, sir. I think that we're going to have a good conversation about this one. This was one that we'll talk about why we're talking about this film.
Right.
But this was one I think that you wanted to revisit, for sure.
I always want to revisit this movie.
Let's talk about the producer. And by the way,
let's just talk about him.
Let's just talk about him. That's it. Producer Adam the Bomb Rogers. I knew it.
Yeah.
Adam. Question for you though: if you could actually remove your head, would it be easier to stick up your rear end every day?
Oh my god!
What?
There we go with that.
Yeah. I know you struggle.
I will come out of my booth.
No, but I had to slip that in there. I think I even gave you fair warning on that. I think it's a pretty appropriate question.
From you.
Yeah, from me. Yeah. Let's talk about how to keep up with us. Easy to do. You know, you got Facebook. You have Twitter. You have iTunes, Max.
I know.
YouTube, Hoodie, whatever you want.
Love the YouTube.
You know you do, but I suggest and recommend that you go to thecufilmcast.net. You know it. That's it. That's where you're going to go. Qfilmcast.net. Go there. Tell us your review, what you think of this film. You can look at pictures and see what we all kind of look like.
Yeah, you can see exactly what we look like. Well, except you.
I don't look like that?
Kind of.
Okay. Well, we kind of look like that. Right. So, go there. Give us feedback. We like that, like now we're doing. So, Qfilmcast.net. Let's get into this. You guys ready to cue up the conversation?
Sure.
Adam, producer, you ready?
Yeah, why not?
There's no particular reason why not. The way the game is played, like we said earlier, is we go around the table. We take turns selecting a film from Netflix. That's not the way this one's working.
A little different.
We're handing this over to one of our affiliate stations.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little nod to KXTR.
Lance in Stephenville.
Lance out of Stephenville, Texas.
Yeah.
KXTR.
Don't mess with Texas.
No. Don't mess with 100.7 either, because that is KXTR. It's a student rock station, Tarlington State University. They've been with us for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always play along, give us good feedback. They seem to like the show. So we said, you know what? We're going to hand it over to you. You pick the film. Buddy Lance there.
Buddy Lance.
Our Buddy Lance.
Oh, I thought that was his name, Buddy Lance.
It is now. That is Buddy Lance.
Buddy Lance.
Yeah. That's a jazz
that's
musician.
A great name.
That's a blues musician's name.
Yeah, Buddy Lance. Sounds like he ought to play the drums.
Yeah, Buddy they Lance. Play jazz
and
on
the trumpet.
Yeah, at the same time.
No, no. Buddy Lance is the sad bass player. I see him as the sad bass player.
I think we just established that he's a drummer and a trumpet player.
Yeah, maybe
he's a musical genius.
Well, I'll tell you what he is. He is the station manager over at KXDR. A staff of 12 student workers, around 30 to 40 student DJs any given semester. They started back in 2004. Plays anything from indie to alternative rock to hip-hop, metal at night. They do all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they play our show, too. So much appreciation. We handed the show over to them for this one. Lance said, how about some new classic horror? What is the cutoff time for new classic horror? 85?
I would say 2000.
I was going to say 90.
Oh, my bad.
Really? I don't know. No, I'm 2000 probably. Yeah, that's not bad. That's
Thank
a good
you.
Cutoff. But yeah, I go with 2000.
So 85, you think is that? That's fine. New classic
it's
horror,
like TBS,
85.
Okay. The new classics.
Yeah, well, he's very funny. Yeah. As always, this film inspired a top three. This is no different. We kicked this one around. Top three. Not lopped off parts, severed parts.
Has to be severed.
Has to be severed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, there have been a few.
There have been a bunch.
There's been a bunch. So we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. Yeah, Reanimator, 1985. Did you know that people who liked this also liked Beyond Reanimator?
Mm-hmm. Shocker.
Woo-hoo. Bride of Reanimator.
Really? Mm-hmm.
You got them out of order.
Frankenhooker.
I like Frankenhooker.
I like Frankenhooker.
Dead Alive.
Dead Alive.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space and basically everything Adam holds dear.
I own all these movies, I think.
Yeah.
Frankenhooker. You have Frankenhooker.
He's talked about Frankenhooker for the past year.
You remember when we did...
it's a Frank Helmentoler movie. Come on. You haven't seen Frankenhooker?
Remember we did top three working women in film?
Oh,
his number one was Frankenhooker. Right.
Yeah.
So, he made
yeah.
Basket Case too, didn't he?
Top three working girls. What'd you call them, Max?
Who was? H.P. Lovecraft wrote this. Stuart Gordon directed this. The film stars Jeffrey Combs. I guess just basically from this film is what he's most known for.
Yeah, the Reanimator franchise.
He was in The Frighteners.
Yeah, he was in From Beyond.
That's what I was going to say.
I beat you to it.
I have not seen From Beyond.
You should see it.
Did you like it?
I didn't see it.
Did you see it, Hoodie?
No.
He also does a lot of voice overs for
really?
Cartoons.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I like Jeffrey Combs.
I guess you do. This film also stars Bruce Abbott. Who is Bruce? Is that the one that looked like John Carrey? Because that guy looked dead up like John Carrey.
John Carrey?
Whatever. Bruce Abbott stars Barbara Crampton. Mm. There's only basically one woman in this film, so I think that narrows it down. David Gale, Robert Sampson, I don't know. Let's talk about what the critics thought of this film. IMDb, Savage. What do you think IMDb gave Reanimator 1985?
78.
7.8.
You're close. You're on the right scale.
All right.
7.3.
Look at that.
You're slightly outside the margin of error.
Look at that.
I'm not going to call that a spot on.
All right.
It's a little outside the margin of error. 7.3, though.
Not bad.
That's not bad. What about Rotten Tomatoes? Hoodie?
Oh.
Critics and users. What do you think the critics gave this?
Eight?
Eight.
You guys are the most dyslexic.
No. I know what we're doing.
Oh, okay. 8%. This is percentage.
I'm very with you.
Okay, I'm sorry. My apologies.
He's way low.
Max Gumbo Johnson, the users on Rotten Tomato gave this percentage-wise fresh what?
89.
83%.
Oh, that's way low.
Users like it. Critics, by the way, gave it 93%. I didn't actually answer that.
Not
question.
8.
Really? Wow.
93% from the critics. Users, 83. And let's talk about what this film is. You ready?
Okay.
Yeah. In this H.P. Lovecraft tale, Herbert West is a Swiss scientist who has discovered a fluid which brings dead tissue back to life. After the suspicious death of his professor in Switzerland, West moves to Miskatonic University.
Miskatonic.
Not Mr. Katonic, Miskatonic.
Miskatonic.
Yeah, I think that's what it says. Miskatonic, it's supposed to be in Illinois. University to continue his research.
He involved. Illinois? What?
It's in Massachusetts.
Oh.
It's in Arkham, Massachusetts.
It says it at the beginning, Massachusetts.
Oh, my God. Well, in the notes, it said they filmed it in Chicago.
They probably did film it in Chicago.
Boink. Yeah.
And I don't think he was Swiss.
No.
I can look, IMDb doesn't lie.
Let's just get Max to do this. Max, what's it about?
No, I'm down. I'm down with this. Let's go. Let's go. I got this. He moves to Miskatonic University in Massachusetts to continue his research. He involves fellow student Dean Kane and his fiance Megan Halsley in his research by experimenting on their dead cat.
It's Dan Kane.
What did I say?
Dean Kane.
Is that Superman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
One of them.
He involves fellow student Dan Kane and his fiance Megan Halsley in his research by experimenting on their dead cat. Dang, that's harsh. Dan, fascinated by West's research, agrees to smuggle him into the hospital morgue with predictable results. Reanimator was the first film in the Reanimator series. The film has since become a cult classic driven by fans of Jeffrey Combs and H.P. Lovecraft. Entertainment Weekly ranked the film number 32 on their list of the top 50 cult films of all time. So, chew on that for a bit. But I think we need to take a break, take a quick relapse, and listen to...
A trailer?
A trailer, a little piece of 1985. Reanimator, starring Jeffrey Combs, directed by Stuart Gordon. And here you go. We'll come back and tell you what we thought.
Herbert West is at the top of his class in medical school.
How can you teach such drivel? These people are here to learn, and you're closing their minds before they even have a chance.
What are He's you? Brilliant, but a little weird.
I've broken the 6 to 12 minute barrier. I've conquered brain death.
His experiments have always been unorthodox.
It was dead.
But lately, they're getting out of hand. And he's just made a discovery that could wake up the dead.
Herbert West has affected reanimation in dead animal tissue.
What are you thinking? How do you feel?
You? 15 cc's of reagent being administered.
Once you wake up the dead, you've got a real mess on your hands.
Reanimator, 1985 cult classic, based on the story by H.P. Lovecraft. That was that trailer, piece of it. We're going to talk about it. Let's reanimate this conversation.
There we go.
Yeah. It died.
5 cc's of glow KY.
It's more squirt. It kind of looked like squirt.
KY and glow sticks. That's all you need. There's the recipe, guys.
It's funny. It's the same thing I found underneath this mattress earlier when I looked at it.
Not going there. Okay.
That was my predator blood experiment.
All right. Let's get into it, guys.
Makes you feel like you're at a rave.
Yeah, right. No doubt.
KY and glow sticks.
Made me thirsty looking at that stuff.
It's a before and after of a rave.
Let's talk about some interesting trivia on this movie. Did you know? I'm going to throw over to the producer on this one. Producer, did you know that the idea of a reanimator came from a discussion Stuart Gordon, the director, had with friends one night about vampire films? He felt there were too many of those. He expressed the desire to see a modern Frankenstein film.
Sure.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Wouldn't you think that's the idea of Reanimator came from H.P. Lovecraft?
Yeah, but
did you
it was
read,
his idea
have anybody
to make
read the short story?
No.
I have.
No.
I read it.
How short is it?
It's nothing like this.
It's nothing like that.
Is it really?
It's completely different.
They took an idea and completely ruined it.
Well, let me tell you why it's nothing like this, because the original story was actually set around the turn of the century. Everyone soon realized it would be way too expensive to recreate. They updated it in the film to present day Chicago. Okay.
Chicago, Massachusetts.
Arkham.
Chicago, Massachusetts.
Yeah, we all know where Chicago, Massachusetts is.
Right.
How dare I not understand that that is Massachusetts.
Short story was set in a lot. He was in the war a lot, too. He was like a battlefield doctor.
Well, he's good.
Something like that. Well, it's been a while since I've read it.
You don't have to dress
You're getting
the set,
into broader reanimator now.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Anyway.
Did you know, this is, I find this interesting. I find this very intriguing hoodie.
Interesting.
Did you know the special effects artist, John Nolan, said that Reanimator was the bloodiest film he's ever worked on. In the past, he never used more than 2 gallons of blood on a film. This one, he used 24 gallons.
Oh, my gosh, 24 gallons.
Yeah. Not enough.
12 times more than he'd ever used before.
A lot of people need it. It was like a big horde of like,
I didn't look at this and zombies. Think, you know, oh, my God, Gorefest.
Yeah. I didn't either. I didn't. Yeah.
No, I actually, when I saw that fact, I'm like, all right, bring on the blood. And it was there, but not like 24 gallons of it.
Yeah, 20, yeah.
Hey, did you know? The first man who is reanimated at the morgue, who goes on to kill the dean, is Arnold Schwarzenegger's body double.
I did know that.
His body double.
Yes, his body double. Looked just like him, too. When I knew that, I'm like, yep, looks just like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I did know that.
You know the guy that killed Halsey? Yeah. Big old
Why
muscle
did you
dude.
Know that?
Because I've seen this
huge
movie
fan
like
of this movie.
30 times. Because I know.
I guess that's why the guy went, ay, ay, ay.
Speaking Max's language. Did you know that the brains in the severed head were made up of steer meat, byproducts, ground beef, and fake blood?
It looked steer good.
Meat? It says steer meat.
What a strange phrase.
That's cattle.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's a specific kind of cattle.
And what is steer meat and byproducts? Is that like the grizzle?
It's like the pink meat, the leftovers, gristle like, and stuff.
That's where all the flavor is.
It's where the flavor comes from, buddy.
I want some byproduct, man. Yeah, ground
just
beef
go to
and
Taco
fake
Bell.
Blood.
The brains look good in this, I'm going to have to say.
Yeah, you'll get some byproduct in Taco Bell. David Gale was... I like this last final one. David Gale was made to shave his head and wear a toupee, as this was found to be keeping with Dr. Hill's character. In the DVD commentary, it was revealed that this was also necessary for budgetary reasons, as there was no money available to match Gale's hair on a prosthetic head prop.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
So they had a fake, makes no sense.
They had a fake head with the hair already in place. They had to shave his head in order to put another toupee on it.
Okay. He had to, yeah. His real hair didn't look like the one on the head.
Exactly.
That dude looked just like John Kerry.
They have way more personality.
Yeah. Probably made more sense. Currency, because, you know, this Max. You know what? We don't use thumbs up or thumbs down, do we, Savage?
No.
Why is that, Max?
Because it's stupid.
It's stupid. It's dumb.
It's just dumb.
We let the movie say, hey, here's how you're going to rate me. Today, I think, I already forgot what it was.
Naked corpses.
Naked corpses.
Yeah.
Naked corpses.
1 to 10 naked corpses. I think the producer came up with that.
Naked There's corpses. There's a lot of them. Right.
Yeah. So let's get
feels
into
right.
it.
Naked corpses. They feel right.
Usually we go to the man that queued it up, but he's in Texas. What is it? Lance. Buddy Lance.
Buddy Lance.
Buddy Lance.
Buddy Lance.
Great musician.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Love that guy's stuff. Yeah.
That's bluesy stuff. Lance gave this a 9.
Wow.
You want to tell you why he said? Lance says, it's really high for this kind of flick, but it's my favorite of the B-movies. Plus, I love H.P. Lovecraft, so there you go. Yeah, and his co-worker, his name's James. James Segura. I think I say that right.
Hopefully.
2.5. You can't go in the middle, sir.
Nope.
We're going to bump you up to 3. Whether you like it or not, you're at 3, James.
All right.
He had no comment. I guess he didn't like the film.
No comment.
So James at 3, Lance at 9. They get it going for us. So there you go.
I'm kind of curious why he didn't like it.
He had no comment, sir. We don't have access.
It'll remain a mystery to the ends of time.
I'm dying about this mystery, and that is what a hard sub thinks of Reanimator.
It's no secret that this genre of film is not my purview. I don't really care for it, but I understand what they were trying to do and what they did. So I'll give it a 5, just because I'm not hating it because I understand what it is. So 5.
All right, 5. There you go. Somewhere right between Lance and James. Lance hard sub. Hoodie. Matthew Saint Hoodie. What you going with? 1 to 10. Reanimate. What?
Naked corpses.
Naked corpses.
Naked corpses.
They were reanimated. Naked corpses. Most. What you going with?
I'm with James. I'm giving it a 5. I watched it one time at the beginning of the week and completely forgot everything.
Really?
It's completely forgettable. And watched it again. I was like, oh, yeah, there was a cat. Oh, yeah, he put the thing through his chest. Oh, yeah, that's how it ended.
Yeah.
Completely forgot it. It was just completely forgettable for me. I understand, you know, the draw to it, but for me, it's just completely forgettable.
Yeah, it's a genre.
Literally
completely
forgettable.
Literally.
Yeah. There's so many heads in a bowl movie, you get them all mixed up.
Of course.
Reanimator, 1985, Gumbo, what you going to do?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
What, is everyone waiting? I'm not going to tell you. Take that. Oh. I give this 8. 8 naked corpses. I love this movie. Love it.
I was expecting your first 10 or something.
I saved that for Evil Dead 2.
Oh, you got your second 10. My bad.
No, this is not getting a 10. Yeah, that was my first 10. No, this didn't get a 10 for me, but I really, really love this movie. Yeah. Probably for all the wrong reasons, but I love it nonetheless.
The naked corpses.
So it gets an 8. 8 naked corpses. 8 crazy, wild, rotting naked corpses.
We're going to give you a chance to stand by that. Well, you know, if it doesn't lie to you. You look at the box, it gives you what the box says it's going to give you.
Yeah. No.
Adam, the producer, Naked Corpses.
I love my Naked Corpses. 8.
8? Sounds good. I figured it would be.
I thought they'd go way higher. I was expecting a couple 9s and 10s.
Yeah, these cult films. Yeah.
I might bump myself up.
You should.
I might talk myself into a 9.
I want you to guess what you I want you to guess what you think I'm going to give this film.
A 5.
That's, you've got your shoes off, so I don't know that 3. You did a dance with it.
No, I didn't do a dance with it. I'm going to give it a strong 7.
Awesome.
Right. Wow.
I found it to be dumb, cheesy. I found it to be, I'm not apologetic about it. Like I say, you look at the box.
Sure.
There's a severed head. There's a mad scientist. Bring it. And that's what it did. Pulled a big old dump truck of camp and comedy and severed heads and mutants. dumped it right on my front lawn. I thought it was pretty funny.
It was funny. It was campy. This was a camp.
This was camp. And I thought a lot of it was pretty well crafted.
Especially for $900,000.
That's what I'm saying. I kept it in perspective. I'm going to go 7. I'll be generous, give it a 7, because I thought it was... It didn't really bore me. But anyways. So we know why Lance gave it to... And by the way, what is the score on this?
This is 33 naked corpses.
That's not bad.
Not counting Lance and James.
Not counting Lance and
James. We don't do that.
You're on the outside looking
in.
That's dumb. Anyways.
That'd be stupid.
Yeah, well, I figured that it would get a little bit of heat. I mean, it is a cult film.
Sure.
So I'm going to stand back, and I'm going to let Savage tell me why he went right in the middle. You have anything you want to say? You don't have to.
Yeah, no. And I'll tell you why. Well, horror in the genre of horror isn't my favorite genre. It's not something I gravitate towards. It's not something I watch on my own. That being said, a good movie is a good movie. You know, like The Exorcist is a fantastic, flawless film.
It's a beautiful film.
It's a beautiful film. And I love that film. This, and I understand what they're doing, and being a child of the 80s when I was growing up, I know what was being thrown at the screen. These schlock B movies that, as fast as they could crank them out, they were throwing them out. And the slasher genre, which was predominant in that era, had kind of exhausted itself in its ridiculousness and just its scope, and it wasn't really well. And so this is kind of the antithesis of the slasher flick. It's like it's the reinvention of the mad scientist, right. You know, going back to the Frankensteins and things like that. So I get it. Did it succeed? I think it succeeds because of Jeffrey Combs, the actor.
Really?
I think just his presence, just the weirdness of that dude. Yeah,
he ate the role. I mean, he was chewing on it.
It's ruined his acting career, period. I mean, it's like...
What?
What?
Well, it's the complete opposite of what it did for his acting
career. No, I mean, he's that guy. He's never going to be anything else.
And he's doing pretty well.
Well, and I'm not saying that it's that he's not been successful monetarily or financially successful because of this.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but you got to give it some props.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And let's talk about some props. I think Max has a few. Let's jump over to him.
Some props?
Yeah, you get some props for this film. You gave this a...
Oh, I thought you were talking about literal props, like the dead cat.
No. Don't ever let me see that prop.
I would love to have that.
Don't let Lisa see that.
Don't let Lisa see that prop. But you propped this up with an eight. What are they?
Naked corpses.
Yeah, those.
Crying out loud.
Talk about it. You have some appreciation for this film. Tell me why.
I love this movie for the exact opposite reasons. He did not like it. James did not like it.
Well, the same reasons.
Well, yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I love these kind of movies. It's crazy. It's silly. It's cheesy. It's over the top. It is camp. This is a movie that doesn't go into camp at all. This does go into camp.
More than The Evil Dead, too.
Evil Dead wasn't camp.
We've had a lot of camp conversations.
Yeah, this is camp. I mean, the performances, especially Combs and the Doctor, are just so theatrical. And just, I mean, they're so crazily over the top. That runs into camp territory.
I think that's what it's built on.
Yeah. But it works in this case. Everything, you can tell that when they went in to make this, they said, okay, we're going to make a all-out splatterfest. That's what our mission is, to make this movie. We're going to go light on plot, which it was sort of light on plot. I mean, it was a pretty basic story.
Yeah.
It was still a good story. I mean,
it was it wasn't a bad story. I'm not knocking
it. It held together. You know.
It's all you can ask for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of it.
And,
is it?
And they went in with that simple focus. They said, we're going to make a splatterfest to really rock this place. And they did. I mean, back in 85, this was really... I remember the first time I saw it. I was like, whoa, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I've loved it ever since. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this movie.
But is it a splatterfest? Because like we're saying, it's 25 gallons, but it doesn't seem gory at all.
It's not like a slasher film.
Yeah, but the tone of this one didn't make it feel bloody. Like a slasher film, seeing a knife, you know, blood. Yeah, and,
maybe it's clinical or something.
Yeah. I mean, it just didn't seem like it had that splattery blood effect.
He stuck a bone saw through a guy's chest.
But it wasn't really a guy.
Okay, by the way, he stuck a bone saw through his chest, but you didn't see like the blood splatter against the wall and just like... crazy amounts and, you know, all that. It was just kind of like, oh, yeah, he did that.
I'm going to go on record. A bone saw cannot cut skin.
Okay, great.
Anybody mark that down?
Yeah.
We got it.
He would know.
It cuts bone, I assume.
He would know.
It does not.
I'm
going to
mark this down. There's no glowing substance that can bring back anyone from the dead either.
And you probably can't reanimate people yet.
Yeah, that's not happening either. I take it back. It's a one. I didn't even think about that.
The bone saw thing. The bone saw. Hey, You remember what happened to the American? Well, no,
anyway, technical. I love this movie. It's fun. Yeah. It never takes itself too seriously.
No, not at all.
And everybody's playing along and having a good time. And I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Hoodie's opinion, which was 5. Do you have anything you want to add? Or are you going to sit back and enjoy the ride here?
Yeah, I really don't. My favorite part was the Talking Heads poster at the beginning.
Yeah, really? Stop
that was
making
literally
sense.
My favorite part. When I saw that the second time, I was like, oh, there's foreshadowing. They're thinking ahead of themselves. Yeah. The Talking Head. Stop making sense. Beautiful. Loved it. Yeah. Best part of the whole movie for me.
You said that you forgot most of this film, which is like, in and out.
It just didn't stick with me at all. Even the dead cat. I remember we were having a conversation about the dead cat, and I'm sitting over here quietly going, cat.
Okay.
And then a few minutes later, I'm like, oh, that cat. Yeah, there it is. But it just, none of it stuck with me at all.
I'm totally on board with you because I'd completely forgot the bone saw thing until Max just brought it up.
Yeah,
I watched this movie 2 days ago and I completely forgot that.
So, and it doesn't really feel like the most original thing ever done, but it is, you know, a retake on Frankenstein. But even like the talking head in a, you know, whatever that is,
pan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're
going to drag.
Dissecting dish.
We're going to drag some scenes out here after this next break we take in a bit here, and we're going to talk about some scenes. Maybe you can recall a few.
I just said my favorite scene was the Talking Heads poster.
You see, I'm with Max on this one. I'm siding a bit with Max on this one. And the real question I have is, like, you go back to the time this was made. There were so many of these things just thrown at you.
Oh, God.
Why does this one have longevity? Why does this one
Jeffrey
get
Combs.
Remembered? I got thinking about that because that's a legitimate question for this. And I think for the same reasons we're talking about, the reasons I liked it. It was built on the right stuff. Crazy performances, characters that you were completely entertained by. Me, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept looking at it just with a grin on my face. The scenes that were supposed to make you squirm made you squirm. It was funny. It was silly. But not too stupid to me. It's smart in the way that you need it to be somewhat respected.
I'll give it that. It wasn't stupid.
No, it wasn't. And I felt watching this like, man, they had a budget, $900,000. Everybody showed up. And it was just bring the heat. Everything was just wildly entertaining. It had energy behind everything, the performances. And the real caveat here for me, I thought the effects were good. I mean, they were staged. It was obviously a guy carrying his own head around. I know how that's made. It's not.
But the makeup, the prosthetics were awful.
I don't think so.
The guy's neck looked awful. There was a guy walking around in the room. His back looked just,
but that's what made it
like
fun.
He had saran wrap hanging off of him.
It was Hoodie. It was so played for camp that's okay with me.
And Adam's arguing that it was some of the best special effects that he's ever seen.
No, it's not some of the best. It's
you adore the guy that did this.
This is great special effects.
It's the exactly. Only, and okay. It's not.
I thought it was. I thought it was
like
pretty
little
good.
Lumps
really
of clay
good.
On their forehead. It was
these,
just.
Yeah, but look,
the
I'm
only
not,
bad thing was the purple makeup underneath the guy's eyes. That's it. And to me, that's probably the only thing that
I thought it was really bad.
You know what it was? I don't know if it was so much great effects as it was just clever. I mean, the sets look clever to me. I liked the idea that it didn't have to be this combed over, groomed, spot on sort of thing because it's going for camp.
Well,
it's like this is a good camp film, and I liked the way the head talked. I thought all the performances were great. Forget about combs. The guy in the straight jacket. Racking his head on that glass in the insane asylum.
Right.
I mean, everybody brought it to this film, and I felt that.
And
heat.
I just had to go, guy in a straitjacket.
Yeah,
I just did that just now.
Yeah.
the dad. Yeah, yeah.
So you know, I think the director apparently had the actors effectively portraying whatever vision he had for the scenes, and it was well delivered. I thought it was fun, gory. One thing I didn't have to think over or pretend it was something that it wasn't.
Right.
It just was what it was.
Sure.
I can see why people consider this a classic in that particular vein.
Well, I'll give it this. It's certainly unapologetic for what it is.
Right.
It makes no bones about that.
Yeah. You are not watching The Constant Gardener.
No. And even the bad or the special effects, and even when it's obvious that he's holding his head, you know, and they're unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
And I'll give it that, you know.
Adam, the producer.
Yo.
You got up there. What did you give this?
I gave it an 8.
An 8. Yeah, talk about it a second. Why did you get up there with an 8?
Well, I had the Fangoria magazine where this came out of and was excited to reading this story. And I was like, I can't wait to see this. Finally saw it.
Yeah.
Was excited about it. Loved it then. And I love it now. And I can't help but love it.
And get excited about it.
I get excited now. It's fun. I love the special effects in it. I know I kind of mentioned it, but and that's what I like about the horror movies is the special effects, and this is what it brought it. I thought it was great.
I kind of, a part of me said, okay, at one point, the special effects guy showed up, and the guy probably went to him and said, look, we don't have much money left. Here's a plastic head. Here's a wig.
Here's some silly putty.
Here's some silly. And he's like, all right, man. I'll do my best. And that's just kind of the spirit of the film.
I'll give it that.
We've got Schwarzenegger's body double.
It's a $900,000 budget.
And they got Schwarzenegger's body double. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break for a second. Let's listen to a piece of this film, Reanimator 1985.
Yes, my love.
I must say, Dr. Hill, I'm very disappointed in you. You steal the secret of life and death, and here you are, trysting with the bubble-headed co-ed. You're not even a second-rate scientist.
Ah, Mr. West, I'm actually glad to see you. It saves me the trouble of having to send for you.
You'll never get credit for my discovery. Who's going to believe a talking head? Get a job in a sideshow.
Okay, so there you go. There's a piece of Reanimator, 1985. I had to reanimate the way I said that. Reanimator, 1985. Let's talk about some scenes. We have a ways to go with this film. Sure. I can't wait to get to the top three, though. All right. Severed parts.
What was your favorite scene?
You're asking me questions. Now I like the way this is going.
I am.
My favorite scene is the head in the... The head. John Carey goes in there.
Right.
And crazy Jeffrey Combs, I think this is really the pinnacle of the film. This is like what I recall. Takes that shovel, lops off that head.
Right.
And just that whole play between his body, walking around bumping into stuff, trying to look for his head. And the head's going, over here.
And he's rolling his eyes.
Yeah. And I like when, I also like right before that too, when Jeffrey Combs couldn't get the head to stand up in the pot.
Awesome.
So he took the, what do you call that thing?
A paper stabber?
A paper stabber, and he stabbed the head on right there.
Like that's the receipt keeper thing?
Yeah. I can't imagine this film being watchable without the whole head and the body. So to me, I love that. And everybody talks about Combs' performance. I mean, come on. This is the guy. Here, we want you to play your own severed head. And he did it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great performance by the head. My number one scene, my number one thing about this film. Hoodie, you look like you smelled some bad cheese.
I was just trying to remember some of that stuff.
Remember a scene?
No joke.
You don't remember that.
I don't remember the paper thing at all. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
What?
I don't remember
that.
I can't help it.
Come on.
I got to watch it again. And I will.
All right. Well, think of something.
Well, no, I'll tell you the bad scenes, the things I didn't like.
How about I tell you my favorite scene?
Let's go. He wants to jump in. You just cut him off.
Whatever. Well, we're talking about favorite scenes, not worst scenes.
They're my favorite bad scenes.
I'm going to be ahead, like King Solomon here. Ahead. Let him go in there. Adam, what do you got for favorite scene? What do you remember?
Oh, when the head and Combs were talking, and the head, it just says, I forgot the line he said, but all of a sudden, all the corpses in the body bags just jump up at once.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
At the time. Yeah.
The
it's
showdown.
My time.
Right. The showdown.
It's Weston Hill.
He was pretty evil, that head.
Weston versus Hill.
Yeah. He got telekinesis and stuff.
You know what? I want to get back to
Hoodie. Well, he was doing all those experiments at the beginning on that side.
Later, he gets bat wings.
Got it.
What about you, Hoodie, before we jumped over to
you
producer?
Sure? Anybody want to jump
no,
in?
No, not me. I want you to level it a bit. I want you to bring it down with some scenes you think didn't work or whatever the heck you want to talk
all right,
about.
Yeah. I thought that The scene that I did, like, talking heads poster, thought that was fantastic.
I don't remember that.
A couple of points. I thought that was great.
It was when they're laying in bed.
It's a brilliant piece of symbolism, really.
Oh, yeah. It set up the whole movie. The scene I didn't like was, and this, you're going to hate this because you just kind of went into this with the body and the head and how they were kind of going back and forth a little bit. But, you know, the whole time the body's walking around headless and the head's in the pan and he's like, just giving it tons of blood, and I'm like, what does the head need with the blood?
The body needs
the blood. This doesn't make any sense.
Are you questioning Dr. West?
Well, yeah, I know. I realize the folly of my ways now. The other scene I didn't like was when the girl was being strangled in the elevator, and the guy eeks past and runs down the hall, grabs the axe, runs back, eeks back into the elevator, and then decides to chop it, and it ends up killing her because he didn't just attack the guy. I was like, what are you doing?
That was my worst scene.
Well, there it is.
Down. So, I was like,
so, yeah, it didn't make any sense. It kind of upset me.
I thought it was kind of funny the more I thought about it.
Yeah.
I didn't really think a lot of this movie was too funny, though. Maybe that it should have gone... you know, that probably would have ruined it, though, if it went too funny or too much in the horror. I think it does, maybe, for you and for the cult people who love it. It rode that line pretty well.
Well, I typically don't like these films.
Yeah, me neither.
But you know what I thought was funny? I kept picturing how funny the people offset must have been. They must have been laughing hysterically. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Seeing that body walking around bumping into stuff. I'll bet you they were just dying off screen.
I'm sure.
You know what I'm talking about, Max?
Oh, yeah.
What about you?
The hand that it would attacked her.
Yeah.
It was off. All that stuff. The head talking just barely off screen. That was actually pretty funny, even though it was really unintentionally.
There was not one scary thing in this film. It was funny to me.
So how can we call it a horror?
Max calls it camp.
Because of the gore, I guess.
There was one scene that was kind of creepy. You said you were... the cat scene kind of creeped me out when I first saw it. And it still kind of creeps me out when I watch it now. Because it's got that light swinging. And
it just hurts me that this is like in the same genre as like The Exorcist or The Changeling.
It's not. I wouldn't.
Horror.
But I just wouldn't.
Subgenres. Subgenres.
Yeah, it's subgenre.
Yeah.
I would have to say.
Well, that solves that.
There you go.
I like that it was kind of an ode to the old movies, too. It was kind of a wink and a nod to, like, Frankenstein and stuff from the early 50s.
There was a burn victim, which is an ode to the short story.
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while since I read
the
short.
Me, too.
I should have pulled it out and checked it.
Yeah, apparently the guy burned in the short story. The guy burned in a barn. Yeah, or they thought that he burned in a barn, so I thought that was a little ode.
You seem like you remember the story more than the movie.
I reread the story last night. Just a little bit, just like half of it, but yeah.
Just to see if you could be inspired to the film a little bit.
If you're coming in to Reanimator, which you don't like, I was like, I got to talk about something.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to read the story. H.P. Lovecraft, he's no slouch.
He's awesome.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah. And,
you know who read a lot in this film was the stupid morgue guard. He didn't care about his job.
Oh, he was all up in that
smoking my favorite.
He was just smoking and reading
Boudoir
magazines.
When the brain
Excuse
hits the
me,
wall, he's
I
like
gotta
looking
go
at the door and just like walks away.
See, I thought that was funny too because at the time he'd peek in and just be like, "I'm out of here." He's walking off
for this.
Ow.
Savage. Before you get out of here, tell me what you think about this film. As far as when you think back and you remember certain things, what?
Well, there are a couple things that rubbed me wrong. There's a couple things that hit me right. Every refrigerator they came to, the door was open. It's like when she breaks into his room. It's like, oh, where is it? My cat and everything. And she opens the door to his room, and the refrigerator's just standing open.
That's not efficient.
No, it's let alone to keep a cat frozen.
So I like to keep my frozen cat in the deep freezer.
But so did we believe him that the cat was found dead, or do you think
he killed it?
Okay, so that's sorry to interrupt on you, but he kind of became a good guy at the end. He was like the antagonist at the beginning, and then towards the end, Hill became the antagonist, and he kind of took over a more hero role. I thought that was kind of interesting, the way to tell a story.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that one moment when the father dies, Dean Halsey dies.
You mean when he actually dies?
Yeah, no, well, the first time.
Yeah.
West is, this is this freshest specimen we'll ever have right here.
Short of killing one ourselves.
Right, and he's pulling, and then the other guy's like, oh, this guy is insane. Something is crossed. And you could tell, like, even as schlocky as it was and as B-movie as it was, you can tell, like, there's a real good moment of acting right there where he's like, all right, this guy has just gone off the edge. And then he looks up at him and just with genuine concern, he's like, we can bring him back.
Yeah.
And at that moment right there, you realize, holy, we can bring the dead back to life. And that's where Dan gets on board with it, and that starts the story. But I thought that was a really, really good moment, and it shows that there is true concern buried in his madness.
Yeah,
I guess mad scientists ultimately have to have. There is a certain sense of altruism in what they're doing, and that's the scene where
it's all for the betterment of mankind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they say that about all of the best bad guys. They do all the wrong things for all the right reasons.
Right,
so. Like Hans Gruber. Best bad guy.
Okay.
Speaking of Hans Gruber.
Herr Gruber.
That was the guy's name at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
His name was Hans Gruber?
The guy that his eyeballs were popping out of his
teeth.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
I missed Gruber. That.
Wow. Was that an ode?
I don't know. Maybe.
Dr. Gruber.
Just blew
You're
my
right,
mind.
Max. My God.
Thank you.
My goodness. That's
I'm
impressive.
Out.
Yeah, you're drop the mic, walk out the room.
But I didn't like the pencil break
please,
rebellion
Max.
In the classroom.
I love the pencil break. I loved
that was
it.
Dumb.
I thought that was great, yeah.
I love that.
So dumb.
6 to 12 minutes.
What did you think of the female love interest in this?
Barbara Crampton. Hours of enjoyment in my youth.
She was so dated, her hair and those big pants.
Oh, yeah, it was 80s. It was very 80s.
She was not dated when she was naked.
Yeah, she was naked. And boy, there was some nudity in this film.
There was lots of nudity.
There was a lot of naked corpses in this film.
Hey, Max, what was Barbara Crampton in lately?
I don't know.
You're next.
Oh, she was.
Yeah.
She was in that. I forgot about that.
All right, so this is probably a door opener for her, too. Is this her first film?
No.
She was in a bunch of movies.
Was she?
Like
well, I mean, the 80s. She was in cocaine and all that.
Yeah, all of this guy's movies.
And Lords of Salem, yeah.
I thought that it was a terrible performance, but in the right way. It was just like the so obvious, distraught girlfriend, damsel in distress. Yeah. You know, he had the a-hole father.
Sure.
He had it coming. By the way, when he had it coming and when Arnold Schwarzenegger's body double killed him, it was pretty brutal. Bit his fingers off.
Real brutal.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Incredibly brutal.
Looked like it hurt, too. He played that off really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked him when he came back to life, though. He was just insane looking. Everybody talks about Combs. That was my favorite performance.
The dad?
He was really whacking his head on that glass, man.
Oh, I liked it when he killed the head, too. I thought that was pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. He squeezed it to death. Mm.
But first, he was headbutting it.
That's right.
I don't remember that at all.
Was that in the script, Hoodie, or did he just kind of come up with that on his own? Anything?
Ooh.
I'm hoping he improv that. That would be
nice.
I'm
sure he did.
Ooh, that's a toughie. We'll have to write a letter. I'm going to write a letter tonight.
See, you can remember things from Reanimator, the film we're talking about.
I'm surprising myself.
1985. You need to go back and watch Reanimator until it's burned in your brain.
Okay. Watch it with Lisa.
Yeah, I should watch that with Lisa.
No.
It won't be the cat that's dead in the fridge.
That'll be the cue that'll be dead. The whole show will be done.
So, there's some good things about this film. I think it's fun. We're having a fun time talking about it.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess so.
What about the producer? What do you want to add, producer, as far as maybe performances or
production
whatever?
Production quality.
Yeah, he said enough about production quality. What was your favorite performance in this thing?
Other than Combs, probably the girl, Barbara Crampton.
Yeah.
That's you didn't fun. Like the head?
Yes. See, I was waiting for that.
Yeah. It's a
and he comes back
pitch.
In a sequel with wings.
I really liked the black
Spoilers.
Zombie. I thought he did a good job.
The black zombie.
Yeah.
The black one, yeah.
The black guy.
That was really good makeup. He had all the tubes coming out of him.
Oh, that's
he handled
right.
that really well. Nice
he
improv.
Did. He did. He must be a stage actor.
I would think so. I would think he's classically trained as a zombie.
And they were all naked. They really were naked. I mean, it was like full frontal zombie nude.
You're not going to keep him clothed.
Right.
What for?
Hey, how did he get all of these corpses to stand up at the same time? And how did he control?
He was working on the mind thing, connecting things not telepathically, but something else.
And telekinetically?
He was experimenting with the will by lobotomizing. He had pinpointed the will in the brain.
That was the only question I had.
Yeah, so they all had been lobotomized to him, and he had control over all of their will. So when he said get up and go, they all had no will, and that's what I did it.
Wow. With his laser lobotomy thing.
Yeah,
right?
With that burning thing.
Right.
We always talk about endings, too, whether it ended well. This ended very much. There's coming a sequel.
I didn't hate the ending. I thought that was pretty nice, especially the fade-out with just the green dot. I thought that was
just the bottle.
I thought that was really nice.
Or the syringe, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
You don't remember that. You're looking at me with a blank slate.
No, I do. I do. I do recall that. I liked it because the same reason you brought up earlier, Hoodie, you said they kind of reversed roles. I felt the same way you did. I mean, Wes became the bit of bit of a hero at the
kinda.
End.
We had to.
There was some redemption. But he started that landslide, man. So
he sure liked his notes. My notes!
He did it for all the right reasons, so you can't hate the guy.
See, I thought he was, I don't know, maybe I'm alone here. I thought he was kind of annoying in this film. I like the other performances better than his.
He was kind of annoying.
Yeah, that. I want a whole film about that.
No, that would wear thin.
I didn't find him annoying at all. I loved him.
You know what we should do? We should chop off each other's heads and switch heads for a show.
No.
I want
your...
You know, if we chopped off producer's head, we could set it right here in the middle of the table.
No change.
Would you like that? Yeah, you would. His body be walking around back there, bumping into that beer like it always does. And sorry.
Inside joke.
Inside joke. Reanimator, 1985. And this was a Lance KXTR out of Stevensville, Texas, queued this up. Thanks, Lance. We enjoyed talking about this.
Buddy Lance.
Buddy Lance.
We got to stop doing that.
He's better than Buddy Guy.
No,
nobody's better than Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy just plays guitar.
Just different.
Also give a shout out to James Segura. He played along, too. Yeah. We bumped him up to a 3. We always round up.
You're welcome.
So, tell you what, let's take a break right here. A small piece. We gave you something to...
maybe a head size piece.
Could be a head size piece. We don't know. Little piece of Reanimator to end this one. We'll come back. and talk about our top three severed parts in film. And we'll be back in just 1 minute.
We failed. Come on, let's go. Somebody be coming any minute.
He failed. Not I.
Oh, God. Cover him up. Let's go. Let's go!
All right.
And we're back. That was Reanimator. 1985, we just finished up our conconversation on that. Little ode to the mid-80s horror. What's the word?
Horror
camp.
Boom.
Camp horror.
The boom of the horror.
Mad scientist.
80s cult horror.
Is everybody staying?
Oh, yeah. By the way, are we staying?
Sticking. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll stick.
I'll stick with the 7.
Same.
I could even go up a little bit, but I'm going to stick with the 7.
You can go up. Even though. Not going to bother me.
Yeah, go up with me. Yay! I liked it.
Really?
Yeah, because I liked the film. It was fun.
Couldn't get you to go up on Munchausen.
No. 34.
But you're going up on Reanimator.
Because Reanimator was good.
I could have went up on Munchausen. I really could have.
Wow.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm glad you didn't say you could go down on Munchausen.
All right, so.
Can we leave that?
No. A top three list. That's what this inspired, as they all do. I like this one. Top three severed parts. Not lopped off parts. I said just severed. Severed parts. Let's talk about that. Let's start out with our friend Lance, Buddy Lance.
All right. What did Buddy Lance say?
KXDR. His number three. I have no idea because I refuse to watch these films. The almost severed feet of the fellow from Hostel. Almost severed. Lance has to be severed.
Yeah.
Do you know what he's talking about? Were they almost severed?
I hated that movie.
I hated Hostel for the reason that it creeped me out.
Listen to the way he actually said it, though. He said, the almost severed feet of the fellow from Hostel after the I always wanted to be a surgeon guy cuts them halfway first. I have no idea. It's awful.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
The torture
that.
Scene.
The torture scene.
One of the torture scenes.
Yeah. He said it was one of the worst things he's ever seen. That's his number three.
It's a brutal movie.
Tame.
What about you, Savage? What's your number three?
Well, I had a very specific criteria for this top three for me.
Specific?
Yeah. Inspired by the film Reanimator, my criteria had to be dismembered heads that continued to function after dismemberment.
And they're out there, so what is it?
Oh, there are a ton out there. So my number three, I'll go with the original Alien, Ash, the guy who came to be a robot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay.
And his head continued to talk after it was dismembered.
Okay. It's a robot part, but I'll go with this.
They didn't know he was a robot.
That's right.
But it came out to be a robot.
I like that. See how he put a little bit of spin on it? It's specific, Hoodie.
So
that was specific.
That was specific. Good number three there.
That?
Severed robot head. What about you, Hoodie? What's your number three?
Carl Weathers' arm in Predator.
Oh, yes. I knew you would bring that up.
It was one of my favorites. It is absolutely one of my favorite scenes ever.
Really? I can't remember it.
He gets kind
of... You're making fun of me.
No.
Carl Weathers' arm?
No, I can't remember it.
Okay, I'm going to set the scene for you. Yeah. You're in a jungle in South America.
Okay. I'm glued.
The Predator's in a tree. He shoots one of the fire blasters.
Okay.
Blows off his arm.
I recall.
The gun's still shooting as it like... Oh,
that was crazy good.
Producer, what's your number three?
From Wrong Turn, where the girl's in the tree and they hit her with the shovel and her head slides down the shovel.
Have not seen this.
Ah.
I'll take your word for it.
All right. No, Wrong Turn's a good
Have you seen this, Max?
Wrong Turn? Yeah, I liked Wrong Turn, actually.
Well, give me a right answer, and that's your number three. What is it?
Number three, Deadly Prey.
Yeah. I thought that would be number one.
That's fantastic.
I was thinking of number one for that, but I was like, okay, there's two more I like more. But yeah, I mean, it literally cuts the guy's arm off and then it beats him up with it.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
That's the way I want to go out.
I can't believe that's not your number one.
You don't know that it's not.
Oh, you're right.
We haven't got that far.
We haven't got the ones.
I can't believe it's number one. We're only on number threes, Max.
Right.
Sorry.
He got so far ahead of himself. All right, I'm going to tell you my number three. I'm just going to put it out there quickly. We're going to move on because I don't want to think about it ever again.
All right.
My number three is Antichrist, that part. Savage.
Oh.
Savage. Nope. End of discussion. Savage, number two, please.
All right. That's enough discussion about that.
Savage, number two, severed parts in film.
Specifically, heads that get dismembered and still function. Throw back to one of our things, Evil Dead 2, Linda.
Absolutely.
It was a shovel, too. Right?
That was a shovel.
Yeah.
Hoodie, that's a quality answer.
That's quality.
Give me a quality answer. Number two for you. What is it?
Horse head and Godfather.
God bless you, son of a...
That's awesome. That's only my number two.
Whoa.
I had a whole thing.
Well, you can still... We'll do it now. Do it
now. No, it's you blew it out. Well, every time I always think my number one, I'm going to get up and just floor you because I never said it had to be a human head. And I was going to do this big thing. I was going to get up and point my finger at all you guys, and then you just ruined the whole thing.
You were really going to do that?
Yeah. I had the whole thing. So number two for you, producer, what's it going to be?
Well, what's Lance's number two?
Oh. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm not used to this.
Buddy Lance.
As a matter of fact, I think this is a very much a perfect... Oh, wait, that's his number one. No, his number two is Luke Skywalker's hand.
Wow.
Of course.
It's got to be there.
I like parts that fly through the air when they get lopped off.
That was from Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Just making sure.
I can tell you what my number two is. I'm going to go with Kill Bill and Lucy Liu's scalp flying through the air.
It's pretty good.
Because I like it when things fly through the air after they get lopped off.
Pretty Especially good. If it's off of Lucy Liu.
Number two, producer, what is it?
Stuck in the Middle with You. Ear scene from Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, good answer, sir. Good answer.
That's one that just made me feel sad for people.
Yeah, that was rough. The gasoline is what really put it over the top.
And it completely co-opted that song forever.
I know. You can't think about anything except that scene. Now,
exactly.
And I can't wear a black suit with a white shirt and a skinny black tie anymore.
No.
Why not?
And that was your look, too.
Well, it just kind of ruined it.
Because now they think you're a Reservoir Dog.
Yeah. And I got that messed up looking ear.
Bummer.
You know what? I'm completely turned around.
It's my number two.
Give it.
My number two, one of the greatest head-cutting off scenes ever.
What?
From The Omen, when that slot, the
piece
of plate glass
cuts off what's-his-face's head.
Yeah.
The reporter.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And then it just rolls over the glass.
Yeah.
In slow motion.
That's right.
I love that. That was awesome. Same.
It was well done for that time.
So well done for now. They should do that more often instead of all this CGI horse crap.
Very dramatic, Max. Nice. Where are we at?
You gave your number two. Let's give Lance's computer. Number one. We're at number
one. Are we up to number ones?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like Lance's answer because I think it's the best answer you can give. And we're talking about James Franco's arm in 127 Hours.
Never saw it.
How have you done? You didn't see that film.
It's not lopped.
It's not on Netflix.
It doesn't have to be lopped.
It's severed.
What is it then, if it's not severed?
Delicately cut away?
Oh, that was gnawed off with a rusty, slow dull knife.
All right. Who am I?
Question, do you think he went back and retrieved the arm in real life? Like, I'd have that thing in a case. We talked about
Shadow
this.
Box.
Yeah, Terminator 2 style.
I would.
In the book, in the story, I mean, the real life, that guy had to repel after that with no arm. I mean,
you see the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the book goes on much, much more than the movie does.
Well, you hadn't seen the movie. What are you talking
about? Well, because I know people who've read the book and seen the movie.
Okay, so the book goes on much more.
Much, much more.
In the book,
there's more adventure to that guy's story.
More adventure?
Adventure. He went on a bad adventure. Right. I have a whole list of bad adventures. You want to hear them?
I'm good.
Okay. Right. Does he go back and retrieve the skeletal arm?
I don't know. I haven't read it.
I would have my arm in a case. Yeah. I'd say that's what happened to me. Like, yeah. Nod that off.
So weird.
No, because I do it too.
I would have it above my fireplace.
That's...
What?
Would you do it too?
Yeah, I'd have it above my fireplace.
That's 80%.
All right. Weird, dude.
Yeah, that was his number one. So is that you, Savage?
Yeah.
What is it? What you got? We're talking about severed parts.
I'm talking about heads that get dismembered that still continue to function after their dismemberment. The thing where it becomes the head crab.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That head crab. One of the best things ever.
The head spider crab.
You remember the head crab?
Yeah, I know.
Whoa. What are you talking about? Awesome. You don't remember the head crab?
No, he's blocked it out.
I don't think I've ever even seen this. I don't know.
Blasphemed.
Literally, when I saw that as a kid back in 1982.
Michael is scolding me. I have a finger in my face right now.
I thought that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life as a kid.
Oh, me too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it holds up.
It does.
It holds
it's fantastic. Up. Right.
All right. Kurt Russell looking at that like, you got to be kidding me.
That is the line.
You got to be kidding me. It was fantastic. And it dripped. Yeah. It was a drippy, oozy head that grew crab feet and walked at you.
Wow.
What do you have for number one, Hoodie?
Well, as you'll find out, I go in a completely different direction with these things. I got the Black Knight from Holy Grail.
Yeah. Yep, of course.
It is merely a flesh
wound. You took my number one. You took up my backup number one. I'm down to seeds and stems here, buddy. Okay.
Well, somebody had to mention it.
Yeah. Yeah, what?
What?
I'm not taking it back.
What do you think of when you think of that film? You think of the severed parts.
Yeah. Those were the first two that came to mind, the horse head and the Black Knight. That's that.
I'll bite you.
It's merely a flesh
wound. Pansy.
Number one from, producer, number one.
Kind of a twofer. It's body parts that are lopped off and replaced with weaponry, Machine Girl and Planet Terror.
That's not bad.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I liked it.
Wouldn't work at all, but it's fine.
All right. Made the most out of that situation.
Sure. You got to do it.
Took off your leg. Something there.
Didn't Machine Girl do that first?
Well, yeah, after her arm got tempered.
Bruce Campbell did it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing it in the new Mad Max movie.
The Innovator.
He's going to have
Charlize
a...
Theron.
No, Charlize Theron has her arm cut off. She's got like a hacksaw thing there.
Well, give away spoilers already.
It's in the trailer.
I put a rake on mine so I could rake the yard all the time.
I would have one like the dude in Fistful of Yen from Kentucky Fried Movie. He's got he's got attachments. He's got like a a thing to please women.
Oh.
And then he's got like he's got all kind of stuff.
There you go. Yeah.
I'd put a fishing
pole. Like Mr. Han from Enter the Dragon.
That's what
that's
based
why
on
it's basically making fun of.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Have you given us your number one, Max?
No, I have not.
I'm dying. I'm dying for it.
This is going to be good, guys. What is it? Take a breath.
I don't know. You might not like it.
I won't like it. What is it?
It's The Ear from Blue Velvet. Set the whole movie in motion.
Sure. Yeah.
The whole reason the movie even exists.
That's your number one. Your number
I love you when
I hate
it.
Like David
I hate
Lynch.
That ear, then.
I know you don't like that movie. I
hate that ear, then, if the whole reason is Blue Velvet. Stupid ear.
The most significant lopped off body part ever.
Skywalker's hand, I would argue.
That's why this is fun. Because your opinion doesn't mean squat.
Skywalker's hand could have not gotten cut off and it still would have been Empire Strikes Back.
But it wouldn't have. All right.
I will argue this to the death.
No, we are going to argue after the show.
I have to keep changing my list. I'll tell you what I'm going to go with, though. I'm going to go with Apocalypto.
Yeah.
Why? Because I like them when they bounce or they fly through the air. These heads, they were lopped off and then they were playing like. Lacrosse with him at the end with a big net they're picking up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Love that movie.
Just boom, down the big steps.
Yeah, but they ripped that off of Conan, though.
It's the Aztecs.
They were wound way before Conan.
All right, let's get through this real quick, guys. We have some shout outs and we'll wrap this one up. Put this out on Facebook. Good stuff came back. I like this one. Charles Whiteman, snob of films, says Hard Candy. Can't beat amateur castration performed by a quirky teenage girl to send a message to pedophiles. Yeah, that'll do the job.
Yeah, that'll work.
Dustin at Super Dustin 83 says Ash's possessed hand. Also, Darth Maul having his torso cut. Mm. Big Lebowski, Bunny's toe.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Kevin Dillon at KevDillon 316 says Peter Weller's hand amputation. RoboCop was disgusting. Yeah. Mike S at MSURERUS says Lucy Liu's scalp. Kiri Elwes' foot. Sean Connery's head in Highlander.
Yeah.
Mm.
There can be only one.
There can only be one.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. Bobby H.
Yeah, they continue with it. There's more than one.
Bobby H.
Popping up.
Bobby H. at Kid_Minneapolis said, going deep here. He also said Bunny's toe. Chris Farley's nose and Dirty Deeds. Benicio del Toro's head in Sin City.
Ah, good one.
Oh, I love this guy's work who made this film. This is Paul John Rennie at Gable_ND says Audition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a Mickey film.
Yeah, of course. There's got to be something dismembered.
Yeah, so I guess that's about it. Oh, Patrick Guder at Goods 10 says Jaws.
Jaws.
Oh, yeah, the leg. Guy's leg. Forgot about that.
Well, the head, too. The floating head underneath the boat.
No, but that was his whole body.
But the leg is the one.
The leg is the one I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm actually kind of shocked none of y'all brought up I Spit on Your Grave or Piranha.
I had that on my list.
Piranha's on my list.
Well, any honorable mentions or shout-outs?
Yes, honorable mention, Ghost Ship, The Wire scene.
Yes.
Scenes.
Yeah. That's,
don't know
I
what
had that on my list.
That's one of the best dismemberment scenes
I had
ever.
One, but I
very well done, too.
I had one on my list, but I didn't know if it was technically severed, though, from Land of the Dead. Where the headless zombie walks up and all of a sudden it flings its body over and there's the head still barely attached.
I actually recall that.
Hmm. I had a couple I wanted to put in there. Aliens, Bishop got completely decimated.
Yeah.
Looper, the torture scene.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Completely cut the guy apart. I love that.
That should have made the list.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And my last one was The Fly. Just pick a part.
Literally, pick a part.
I really like the part where she reached up to stop him and ripped his jaw off.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. And that concludes it here. That's our top three list of severed parts in film. Inspired by the movie we talked about earlier. Queued up by Lance at KXTR. That was Reanimator 1985. That puts this one in the books, man.
Yep.
There we go, guys. And let's move on to the next one. Big reveal time. What's that mean, right?
That's yeah.
I'm going to queue up a film.
Yeah.
We're waiting.
Okay.
It's your turn, sir.
Paul Thomas Anderson. Yes, right. The guy that
P.T.
Actually, P.T. Anderson. I think he drives a P.T. That's cruiser.
Sure, he cruised on by.
Terrible cool. Joke. That was stupid. Someone lopped my head off. Yeah, he actually made what is considered a comedy. Maybe, maybe not. But the same guy that made There Will Be Blood tried to put a spin on the comedy vein, and he did back in 2002 with Punch Drunk Love.
All right.
Adam Sandler, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Love. So that was where this one ends. Reanimator, 1985. As always, thank you for tuning into the Q. If you want to give us your thoughts on this one or any film we've discussed, you can go there, QFilmcast.net. Always happy to hear from you. So join us again next week as we cue it up, Knock It Down, 2002, Punch Drunk Love. We're going to cue it. We're going to review it. And until then, however it is, you say goodnight.